Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. In Anuccheda 22, we start discussing the nature of the superior energy and the first evidence to tell us what the superior energy is like is by inference from the effects of this, of what must be the effects of the spiritual energy. Phenomena we do experience in this world that have to be explained by some cause, and the only possible cause is some higher spiritual energy. The life functions of the living entities, their knowledge, and the ability of their senses to perceive, these force us to presume this higher energy that is giving life to the body. Then there's a Purvapaksha. The absolute truth is called bliss. How can that which is supposed to be bliss and pure bliss, bliss is a special kind of knowledge, a special kind of experience. But it's supposed to be, according to the impersonalists, an experience that is beyond any duality. So there is no thing, there is no object of bliss being experienced. There is no separate person experiencing it. There is just the experience or the bliss itself. So the question that the impersonalist proposes is, how can the bliss be experiencing bliss? How can its bliss have an object that brings in duality? They're answered in Arjuna's prayer by the words, mayum vyadasya chitchaktya. Kaivalya stita atmani, you are situated within yourself in oneness, and you do have nothing to do. You have nothing to do with the material duality, but you are always conjoined with your spiritual potencies, which create spiritual varieties. Okay, it's 6 after. The class does start at 9, so please try to come on time. That brings us up to 22.3. So the Supreme thus has 3 different kinds of energies. The spiritual, the marginal, living entities, and the material energy. Now we're up to 22.4. I just want to go back to 22.3 because 22.4 refers back to it. There's a prayer spoken by Mother Devahuti. Let's read that prayer again because the next section discusses it further. Param pradhanam purusham mahantam kalam kavim trivritam lokapalam Atmanu bhutya nugata prapancham
Svachanda Shaktim Kapilam Prapadye.
I surrender unto the personality of Godhead Kapila, whose energies act autonomously on his behalf. He becomes material nature, her lord, the original stock of matter, the time factor, the threefold forms of ego, the worlds and their rulers. And by his inner awareness, he again absorbs the creation within himself. Okay, so the Lord and his expansions. The Supreme and his expansions. It seems that the Ishvara is among the expansions. He becomes material nature and her Lord. So the impersonalist could stand by their presentation that the personality, Ishvara, is just an expansion from Brahma. It's not the original absolute truth. It's not perfect. It's not the personality of God is not ultimately real. So a question is asked here. 22.4. Atra purushasyapi mayantak patitvam tadit shtatvittayopacharyate eva vastutas tutasya paratvam. So there's the answer to if purusha is also just an expansion from the original absolute truth, isn't he also material? Answer is, here, including the Supreme Lord within Maya is done only figuratively, based on the idea that he is her presiding Lord. The truth, however, is that he transcends Maya. So he has a relationship with Maya as her lord, her consort. But it doesn't put him on the material level. Nor does it put Maya, the presiding deity of the material energy, is also not material. She's also a spiritual being. Maya antakpatitvam, this is a common expression, antakpata, literally falling inside, but that's the expression used to mean to be included in a category, antakpata. And upacharyate, then we're talking about upachara, or metaphor, that something is, the beautiful woman's face is not actually the moon, it's just not like the moon in some ways. So it's only metaphorically a moon, it's not the real moon. That's upachara, or metaphor. So saying that the Lord is one of those expansions, one of the elements of creation, expanding from Brahman, that's just metaphorical. Actually, he's beyond all material, all matter, beyond Maya. He's her controller, and he's has nothing to do with, doesn't belong to, the expansions of duality created by Maya. He's not one of them. Tata cha Shri Kapila Deva Vakye Anadir Atma Purusho Nirgunat Prakritik Paraha Pratyagdama Swayam Jyotir Vishwam Yena Samanvitam. Thus in the words of Sri Kapiladev, this prayer was spoken to him by Devahuti. This is, a previous statement that he made to her. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Soul, and he has no beginning. He is the Paramatma. Sometimes the Mayavadis use Paramatma as a term for Brahman, the impersonal supreme. But he is, the Bhagavan is the Paramatma, and he has no beginning. Certainly not in time, but he's also not an expansion of Brahman. He's the original Brahman. Continuing the statement, he is transcendental to the material modes of nature and beyond the existence of this material world. He is perceivable everywhere because he is self-effulgent, and by his self-effulgent luster, the entire creation is maintained. Pratyagdama Swayam Jyotir. So that is the impersonal Brahman. It's visualized as the bodily effulgence of the personality of Godhead. Tad Brahma Nishkalam Ashesha Bhutam. Everything that exists in the material duality is coming from that Brahman. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina. This whole world is pervaded by me in my impersonal feature. Okay. The supreme. What Kapiladev told us is the supreme personality of Godhead is transcendental to the material modes of nature and beyond all material existence. And he's the supreme soul, and he has no beginning. Now the commentary on this. Devahuti described the object of her prayer as non-different from the energies of Maya, which expand from him. Among the material energies, Devahuti also listed Purusha, the Supreme Lord himself in his role as creator. God does not fall within the scope of his inferior energy, but poetic liberty can be allowed to speak as if he did, because he is related to Maya as her master. Theory of poetry tells us that a metaphor has to be based on some actual similarity. If you're going to compare something to something, there must be a sadharana guna, sadharana dharma, a common feature, a common quality that allows us to compare one to the other, face to the moon. If the face was triangle-shaped, it wouldn't look like a moon. It would look like something else. But it's roundish. A round face can be compared to the moon. A face that's effulgent and not completely black and lacking effulgence can be compared to the moon. There has to be points of comparison. So the comparison between the Lord and his material creation is that he has a relationship, not with anything else, but he does have a personal relationship with Prakriti herself. He's her husband. So he's in the group picture of material energy. He's there in the picture, standing beside his consort, even though he's not actually part of the material creation. I think we can move into the next part, 22.5. Nama Svarupayor Nirupanena Mahasanghitayam Apivivictam Tat Tri Shakti Sri Bhur Durge Diya Bhinna Jivamaya Mahatmanaha Atma Maya Taricha Shyad Gunamaya Jagaratmika. The three energies are distinguished in the Maha Samhita, specifying their names and identities in terms of Nama Svarupayor Nirupanena, in terms of delimiting what are the names and the actual forms. And the Mahasamhita says, the jiva maya of the Supreme Soul appears in three distinct features, Shri, Bhu, and Durga. These are the energies of maya that put the jivas in illusion, that create the illusion for the jivas. The atma maya is his desire. The guna maya is inert. So there are three different mayas. We were talking before about guna maya and jiva maya. The spiritual energy enters the group as the atma maya, which the Mahasamhita briefly defines as his, the Lord's, desire. That's further explained. Does anybody know what the Mahasamhita is? What? Anybody familiar at all with that book? No? I can't tell. I don't think we have a copy of it. It's apparently some kind of Pancharatra literature. Okay, anyway, Jiva Goswami explains that statement. Asyartaha Shrir Atra Jagat Palana Shakti. The three aspects of Jiva Maya were mentioned, Shri, Bhu, and Durga. Of course, Shri is also a name of Mahalakshmi, the actual wife of Narayan, but this is her expansion as the material, the presiding deity of part of the material energy. Shri Atra, in this context, Shri means Jagat Palana Shakti. The meaning of this is as follows. Here, Shri is the energy which maintains the universe. So we could translate Shri as opulence. She's the deity of all the material opulences. Bhus tat srishti shaktihi. Bhu is the energy of its creation. Durga tat pralaya shaktihi. And Durga is the energy of its annihilation. So this corresponds to the three lords, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. So this, I don't know if Bhu is actually the wife of Lord Brahma. She's Varahadev's wife. But anyway, this other expansion of Bhu might be married. I don't know. Any statement sales anywhere that Bhu is the wife of Brahma? They seem to correspond. These are the energies of maintenance, creation, and destruction. Certainly Durga is the wife of Lord Shiva, and Shri is the wife of Lord Vishnu. But these are the material counterparts of Shri, and this is the material Durga and material Bhu. Tad-tad rupena yabedam prapta sa jiva vishaya tat shaktir jiva mayet yuchite. That energy of his, which becomes divided into these forms, having as the object of her influence the finite souls, is called the jiva maya. Okay, altogether, these are three aspects that comprise the part of maya that's called jiva maya. We discussed that back in Anuchet 17. Commentary. According to this analysis, the Supreme Lord has three mayas, or creative energies. His internal energy is the realm of pure spirit. I'm sorry. His internal energy in the realm of pure spirit is called Atma Maya. And his material energy has the form of Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, which were both briefly described once before in text 17.3. The active side of material nature
Jivamaya, appears as the three goddesses who create, maintain, and destroy this world. Jivamaya thus regulates the imprisonment of souls who rebel against Atmamaya. Okay, that's what Jivamaya is there for, to control the rebellious living entities. And then Gunamaya creates the material elements, the raw material of creation. Okay, I'm just making a note. I have to add a comma there in the commentary. Okay. Okay, I think that's straightforward enough. 22.6. Padme Shri Krishna Satyabhama Samvadiya Kartika Mahatmye Aham Eva Trida Binna Tishtami Trividair Gunaihi Ityetad Vakyanantaram. In the Padma Purana, in the Kartika Mahatmya, presented in a conversation between Shri Krishna and Satyabhama, the Kartika Mahatmya, glorification of Kartik month, is a famous section of the Padma Purana, and it happens to be a discussion between Krishna and Satyabhama. And there, Krishna says, one thing he says is, I become divided into three, appearing along with my three different modes. And there... which is probably a reference to these three same mayas that were mentioned in the Mahasamhita. So Krishna says that, but there are other statements more to the point after that, in that context. He then says, Tatak sarve pite deva shrutva tadvakya choditaha Gaurim Lakshmim Daram Chaiva Pranemur Bhakti Tatpada. Then all the demigods, inspired by hearing her words, bowed down with great devotion to Gauri, Lakshmi, and Dara. I don't know offhand, without looking at the commentary, who she is, who spoke something. We're missing the middle part. I think it's explained in the commentary. No, it isn't. Okay, then I have to add that. Why her words? Whose words did they hear? Krishna said something, or somebody said something, and then all the demigods, inspired by hearing her words, bowed down with great devotion to the three goddesses, Gauri, Lakshmi, and Dara. Well, Gauri is Parvati, or Durga. Lakshmi is Sri. Dara is Bhu. So it's the same three that were mentioned in the Mahasamhita. But the whole story is not here. Let me... let me make a note. I should add the story here in the commentary, which I haven't done. Okay, I made the note. It's easy enough to look up. We have the actual reference. It's there in the Padma Purana. So you can find the story in context. What are the demigods doing? Who are they listening from? Apparently Krishna is narrating some other conversation, some encounter between the demigods and some goddess. But the commentary I have here, oh no, then there's also a statement, Ekadashe Cha, also in the 11th canto, a similar statement. Esha Maya Bhagavata Srishti Stityantakarini Trivarna Vanitasma Bir Kimbuya Shrotam Ichchasi. At one point, Krishna tells Uddhava, I have now described Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
This illusory potency, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is empowered by the Lord for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? That's Krishna talking to Uddhava. The commentary just says Gauri is another name of Durga. Lakshmi is Shri, and Dura is Boo. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop here. I'm still in a weak condition. I can't really speak much more. And Bhartram Prabhu is back, so maybe tomorrow or the next day he'll resume the Tika class. So I'll stop giving the Tika class, and I'll restart the Kavya class. We'll start the beginning of the third chapter of Alankar Kostubha after a few days. Maybe on Thursday, but I have to get the copy of the book. It's not here. I have to get the book. Unless we have another copy of Alankar Kostubha here. You have? Okay, if you can bring it, then I could start. Tomorrow is Tuesday? Say Thursday I could start the class, Kavya class. All right, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.